RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. Strange Tales. I've got a double dose of the Strange Dr. Weird for you this week. We'll start off with The Devil's Cavern, first heard April 3rd, 1945. That's followed up by Revenge from the Grave, story from May 23rd, 1945. The series aired from November of 1944 to July of 1945 over mutual stations. And now, The Strange Dr. Weird.
Strange Dr. Weird.
Good evening. Come in, won't you? Well, what's the matter? You seem a bit nervous. Perhaps the cemetery outside this house has upset you. But there are things far worse than cemeteries. For instance, men with murder in their hearts, as in my story tonight, a story I call The Devil's Caverns. My story, The Devil's Caverns, begins in the desolate and remote mountain country of New Mexico. It is early morning in a large hunting lodge. John Drake, the noted naturalist and explorer, is speaking to his two nephews, Victor and Paul.
You two have just wasted your time coming to New Mexico to see me. I told you both a dozen times I won't increase your allowances, and that's final.
But, Uncle John, you can hardly expect Victor and myself to live on $5,000.
Now, be quiet, Paul. Uncle John has always been most generous to us. If he feels that he can't give us any more, we should be satisfied.
Thank you, Victor. Dear me, it's 9 o'clock, and I'm not even at work. I must leave now.
Oh, you're going to those caverns you discovered in the mountains?
Yes. Would you take care to come with me?
No, thank you, Uncle John. Exploring caverns is hardly in our line.
But you can't go back to New York without seeing the Devil's Caverns.
The Devil's Caverns?
Yes, I call them that because they're so huge and dark. I imagine to anyone but a scientist like myself, the caverns would be rather terrifying.
I see. Well, thanks anyway, Uncle John. Perhaps some other time.
Very well. I'll see you both this evening when I return.
The old fool. Worth millions and he wastes his time exploring caverns.
Perhaps we made a mistake in not going to the caverns with him.
What do you mean?
Last night, Uncle John spoke about finding holes in the caverns. Holes hundreds of feet deep.
What are you getting at?
Suppose Uncle John were to accidentally fall into one of those holes. You and I would inherit his millions.
Say, I hadn't thought of that.
Well, I have. Yes, Paul, tomorrow you and I will accompany Uncle John into the caverns. Who knows? Perhaps he will meet with an accident.
It's just a little further to the entrance to the caverns.
But, Uncle John, why did you make us wear leather gloves and high shoes?
Well, they're for protection against the rats in Devil's Caverns.
You mean the rats in there are dangerous?
Oh, not really. It's just that now and then one of them will take a nip at you.
Oh, ooh.
And then there's the bats. A most remarkable species. Ah, here we are.
Well, you just lead the way.
It was just by sheer luck that I stumbled on the entrance.
Oh, it certainly is dark in here.
Now, just a second. I'll turn on my flashlight. There.
Well, I can understand now why you call these the Devil's Caverns. Something terrifying about this place.
Yes, and there are others even more terrifying. Come along, I'll show them to you.
Just a minute, Uncle John.
What for, Paul? Paul, why in the world are you lighting a candle?
I'm going to leave this candle here by the entrance. I figure we'll stop every 50 yards and leave a burning candle so we won't get lost.
Yes, the candles will serve as beacons to guide us back to the entrance here.
But that isn't necessary. Why, I know every inch of all the caverns by now. Well,
nevertheless, Uncle John, we'd feel safer this way.
Very well. It'll make you feel better. Now, come along. There's so much I want to show you. If you'll come over here, boys, I'll show you one of those holes I was telling you about.
We'll be there just as soon as we light another candle, Uncle John.
How many candles does this make, Paul?
This is the 10th candle. I figure we've come, more than a quarter of a mile.
Everything's working out perfectly. Now, look back. You can see four of the candles burning, and the other six are around that turn.
Yeah. Well, come along now. We mustn't keep Uncle John waiting.
There you are. Now I'm going to show you another of the wonder of these caverns. This hole I'm shining my flashlight on.
Something just brushed against my foot.
That was just one of the cavern rats. They discovered we're here. Listen.
Sounds like there are thousands of them.
Yes, there are. Nasty little fellows, too. And our leather gloves and high shoes will protect us if they grow too bold.
I hope so.
Now, yesterday I measured the depth of this hole, and much to my amazement, I discovered that it's 920 feet deep.
920 feet? If anyone fell in, it'd be quite a fall.
Shine your flashlight down the hole, Uncle John, so we can see what it looks like.
Very well. Of course, you won't be able to see the bottom, but at least you'll get an idea of how... Why are you taking my arms, boys?
Well, we just want to make sure you don't fall in.
Yes, Uncle John. After all, you're awfully close to the edge.
Nonsense, boys. I won't fall in. Now let go of my arms so I can... Stop pushing me. Let's come over here. Don't! I'll fall if you...
Poor Uncle John. But then accidents will happen.
Doctor, after listening to the first part of your story, don't you think some of our listeners may be a little shaky?
Well, I can't understand why. But if they are, I suppose we ought to suggest something to bolster their confidence.
Doctor, that's a good idea. And then there's nothing that gives a fellow more confidence in himself than correct attire. For that reason, may I suggest that your wardrobe include at least one of the many smart, correctly styled Adam hats. Made of lustrous all-fur felt in a wide variety of soft, harmonizing shades, Adam hats are the epitome of fine quality and good taste. You'll appreciate, too, the distinctive hat bands and other important details of your Adam hat. Top off that well-dressed look, gentlemen, with an Adam hat. Now, back to mystery and Dr. Weird.
And now I'll continue my story, The Devil's Caverns. After John Drake's death scream had faded away, only the shrill squeaking of the rats and the heavy breathing of the two men remained. For a moment, the two stood in darkness. Then Victor spoke.
All right, Paul. Turn on Uncle John's flashlight and let's get out of here.
Why? I haven't got his flashlight. He fell in before I could take it away from him.
What? You stupid fool. I might have known you'd bungle it. Now what have we got? Wait a minute. I have my cigarette lighter, if it only works. There. Doesn't give much light, but it'll do.
Oh, come on. Let's get out of here. Place gives me the creeps.
Yes. Now, there's the first candle a few yards away. Come along.
Victor, look. The first candle just went out.
Yes. That draft probably blew it out.
Candle was right over here on this rock. Oh, Victor, it's gone.
Gone? Nonsense. You probably left it on another rock. Now, let's not waste time. There's the second candle, 50 yards ahead.
Oh, all right, but I tell you, that was a rock I left it on. Now it's gone.
Oh, look. The second candle, it seems to be moving. It's falling over.
It's gone out. But that's as though someone blew it up.
Don't be a fool.
Look, the third candle's beginning to flicker.
It can't go out. It mustn't go out. Hurry.
candles to guide us out of here.
Get hold of yourself. I've got my eye fixed on the spot where the third candle went out. Once there, we merely have to turn the bend to see the other candles.
Yes, but suppose there are two.
They won't be.
It's Uncle John. He's going ahead of us, pouring out the candles, so we can't escape.
How could it be, Uncle John? He's dead.
It's his ghost that's doing it. He's getting revenge on us for what we did.
Be quiet, do you hear? Listen. The rats. That's it. They're the ones who are knocking the candles over. They're carrying them off. They're hungry. They're attracted by the wax in the candles.
Why are you stopping?
Can't you see? The path divides into three here. Do you remember which is the way out?
I don't remember these three paths at all.
We must have come by the middle path. Yes, I'm sure that's the one. Come on. We're bound to find the entrance. After all the hours we've searched, we're bound to.
Why do you keep on saying that over and over? We're lost, and you know we are. We're never going to get out of here, never. Uncle John, listen to that.
Stop talking about Uncle John. He's dead.
Dead? No, he's all around us. I can feel him. He blew out all the candles. Now he's waiting for us to die.
Shut up.
Even the rats know that we're going to die. Listen.
My cigarette lighter. It's gone out.
It's Uncle John. He blew it out.
It won't work. The fuel's all gone. Paul, where are you?
I'm over here.
You have some matches, haven't you?
Yes.
Those matches are a matter of life and death. We don't dare walk in the darkness, not with all those holes around. Paul, keep talking so I can find you.
How can you find me when I'm lost? You'll never find me.
Paul, what is it?
Uncle John, he just brushed past me. He's come to take me.
Don't be a fool. It was a bat that brushed past you.
No, it's Uncle John. He's come to get me. No, stay away from me. Stay away.
Paul, come back. Come back, you hear? It's dangerous to run like that. Paul. He's fallen into a hole. He's gone. Now I'm all alone without any light at all. So, Uncle John, you think you've gotten the better of me? Well, you haven't. You haven't, you hear? I've got to get a hold of myself. I must. If I go to pieces, I'll never get out of here. I've got to take this thing out. There must be some way that I can... Ow! Left leg. Oh, one of those rats bit me. But they're swarming all around me. Ow! I've got to fight them off. If I don't, they'll... Ow! Oh, no! Get away! Get away! Ow!
Too bad about poor Victor, wasn't it? Such a horrible way to die. 2 weeks later, when a searching party entered the cabin, they found a clean white skeleton lying a few hundred yards from the entrance. Unfortunately, they were never able to find a trace of John Drake and Paul. It was as if they had vanished from the face of the earth. Now, I once knew a dead man who... Oh, you have to go now? Perhaps you'll drop in on me again soon. Just look for the house on the other side of the cemetery. The house of Dr. Weird.
Adam Pat presents... The Strange Dr. Weird.
Good evening. Come in, won't you? Well, what's the matter? Your hand is shaking. Surely you're not afraid of me. Perhaps the cemetery outside my house is upset you. Speaking of cemeteries, reminds me of a story I want to tell you. A strange murder and a strange burial. The strangest ever known. I call the story... Murder 1 million BC.
In a spirit of reverence, we of Adam Hatch join our fellow Americans and allies everywhere in a tribute of humble gratitude to the brave men and women in our armed forces. Let us pray that they who have brought us so far along the road to freedom have not sacrificed in vain. And finally, let us hope that the end is near, that Japan will soon be defeated, and that our men and women overseas will return to a safe home in a peaceful world. And now for the story on tonight's Adam Hatch program, as told by Dr. Weird.
My story, Murder 1 Million B.C., begins in a house on the outskirts of a small city in New Mexico, the home of Professor Timothy Jordan, a renowned scientist. Inside his laboratory, engaged upon a mysterious experiment. In the living room, his wife, Florence, and his financial advisor, Harry Smith, confer with each other apprehensively.
But, Flo, you say you don't know why Timothy asked me to be here at 11 this morning?
No, no, I haven't any idea. I'm sure he doesn't suspect anything about us.
It must be about his money.
Money? What do you mean?
Well, you know, I've been handling all his business affairs for the last 2 years.
Yes?
Well, a lot of money's been coming in from those new X-ray machines he invented. So much that I didn't think he'd missed a little of it.
You mean you've been taking it?
Well, just borrowing some of it for some investment that made me rich.
Harry!
You find out I'm stuck. Send me to jail. Will, too.
What are you going to do?
I don't know, but if you were only out of the way, it could be you and me together always.
Because, here he
comes. Oh, Harry! Is that you?
Yes, Tim. Harry just got here.
Oh, good, good, excellent. Harry Flo, I'm about to show you the most amazing thing science has ever achieved.
What do you mean, Tim?
I'm going to show you why I've had to ask you for all that money lately, and why I'll need another 100,000 immediately.
Another?
Come along, both of you, in here, in my laboratory.
Tim, what's this all about?
Tim, darling, it's Rome. All this machinery. What have you been doing in here?
Suppose I told you that I've been building a time machine.
A time machine?
Yes, yes. Look, both of you. You see this big archway of watchways? A doorway that leads back into the unknown past as far as the year 1 million B.C.
Tim, you're not serious.
I'm perfectly serious. All I have to do is to close this switch. Now, watch.
The archway. It seems to be getting all misty.
Yes. That's a sign the current flowing through these coils is opening a hole into the past. A hole we can step through as if it were a doorway. Now come. Follow me, and in 10 seconds, you'll find yourself on this earth as it was a million years ago.
Startled, Harry and Florence saw Professor Jordan step into the amazing machine he had built and vanish. Then fearfully, they followed him and abruptly found themselves standing at his side on hot, dry desert sand. A brilliant sun burned in the sky overhead and strange birds flew through the air above them. Half a mile away to their left lay a vast body of water in which monstrous nightmarish creatures were flashing. Harry and Florence stared about them as if they could not believe their eyes.
Tim! Tim, is this real?
This is New Mexico, as it was a million years ago.
Tim, I don't know what to say.
I just can't believe it. The past! We've come a million years into the past.
And just by stepping back the way we came, we'll be in the present again, in my laboratory, in the year 1940 A.D. Think what that means. Think of being able to watch the burning of Rome, see Columbus discover America, view the signing of the Declaration of Independence. But it'll all be possible as soon as I can get more radium.
More radium?
Yes. Radium provides the power my time machine needs. That's why I have to have $100,000 at once, Harry.
Yes, I see. Excuse me, Tim, this...
Huh? Stone.
What's interesting?
Stone? Oh, that's just sandstone covered with clay. Well, Harry, about the money.
There isn't any money.
No money? What do you mean?
Just what I say.
You've stolen it. Embezzled it. You'll go to jail, do you hear? I'll send you to the jail if it's the last thing I do.
Oh, no, you won't.
No, I don't!
Had to kill him. Go to jail.
Oh, what are we going to do?
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to bury him right here.
But his body, it may be found. And
then... Oh, listen, don't you understand? This is a world a million years in the past. We'll bury Timothy here in the sand, then step back through the time machine into the laboratory.
When we get there, he'll have been dead for a million years, don't you see? He'll have been dead and buried for a million years, and there won't be any body left to be found. There won't be any evidence at all.
After Harry had struck down Professor Jordan, he and Flo hastily dug a deep grave in the sand with their hands. They put the body and the blood-stained rock into this grave and covered both with sand. Then hastily they stepped back through the time machine into the laboratory and partly dismantled the machine so no one else could stumble on the secret. Then, after waiting, they announced Professor Jordan's disappearance. Everything went just as Harry planned. It was true that Inspector Leroy of the local police department seemed a little suspicious of Professor Jordan's disappearance. But, of course, he had no evidence. So, in due time, Harry and Flo were married. As they were returning from a long honeymoon, Harry said,
"Flo, I've been thinking about that time machine of Timothy's."
"What about it, Harry?"
"That machine can make me the richest man on Earth. For example, suppose I took it to New York and used it to go back 100 years. Then suppose I bought up all the land where Times Square now."
"Harry!"
"What is it?"
"It's clipping Grace Miller sent me. I just opened a letter and look at it."
"Let me see. Bones of ancient man found near residence of late Professor Jordan. While excavating for Highway 37, workmen today found fragments of skeleton of an ancient man buried in a formation of sand and rock. Robert Thompson, state geologist, state geological formation indicates the bones between 500,000 and a million years old have been preserved by the extreme dryness of the soil. Great ancient scientists suspect that a rock found beside the crushed-in skull of the skeleton was apparently the weapon with which the prehistoric man was killed."
"Timothy's bones and the rock you killed him with. Harry, you said there wouldn't be any evidence left after a million years."
"We have nothing to worry about, even if they did find a few old bones."
"Just the same, Harry, let's not go back home. Let's get off the train, turn around, go someplace far away."
"That's absurd. In the first place, it would look suspicious if we didn't go back. In the second place, you've got to go back to get that time machine. Because it's going to make me the richest man in the world."
Harry succeeded in calming Florence's fears, and next morning they arrived home. They were having breakfast when an unannounced caller, Inspector Leroy, walked in.
"Good morning, folks. Welcome home."
"What's the idea of barging in like this, Inspector?"
"Mrs. Smith, do you recognize this locket which was found and turned into the police department?"
"Locket? Why, that's my gold locket that's been missing for months. Well, what happened to it? It's a worn scratch. Looks a million years old."
"Yes, doesn't it?"
"Oh.
And we found an inscription inside as good as new, indicating your former husband gave it to you for a birthday present."
"All right, so it's Florence's locket. So what?"
"As a matter of fact, I want to talk to you about that skeleton which was found out back of this house last week." "You know about it, I suppose."
"Yes, we know about it. So what?"
"It was a very interesting skeleton, Mr. Smith. A million years old, the scientists say. But this locket was found lying underneath it."
"Oh, no.
What? Impossible."
"Another thing about that skeleton which is puzzling the scientists, it has gold fillings in its teeth. Gold fillings for Professor Jordan's dentist identifies as fillings he put into the professor's teeth himself."
"Oh,
you're
Harry.
Crazy."
"No, it's the scientists who are going crazy trying to figure out the answers. But I'm no scientist, so I didn't have any trouble. My answer is that body is Professor Jordan's, and you two killed him and buried him there. And, Mrs. Smith, that's when you lost that locket."
"No. No, it isn't true. It isn't true."
"I said you're crazy, and I mean it."
"Not crazy enough to believe dentists were putting gold fillings in people's teeth a million years ago. Those are Professor Jordan's bones, Smith, and I can prove that you murdered him."
"You can't. I didn't."
"Yes. You see, that rock that killed him just fits the wound in the skull, and you know what? The killer left his fingerprints on that rock."
"Fingerprints? It's not possible."
"But it is. The scientists say that a million years ago, that rock was covered with clay, and that the murderer left 4 nice, clear fingerprints in the clay. Since then, the clay has hardened to become part of the rock itself, and those 4 fingerprints, there in that solid rock, match specimens of your prints that I got from your office. How's that for evidence? Fingerprints embedded for all eternity in the solid rock with which a murderer struck down his victim."
The jury found Harry and Florence guilty box. The evidence was so conclusive. Of course, nobody believed that Professor Jordan's bones actually had been buried for a million years before they were found. But nobody could explain how Harry's fingerprints came to be embedded in a solid chunk of rock. Perhaps Harry could have, but he didn't dare to, for fear of making matters worse. I remember another scientist who... Oh, you have to go now. Perhaps you'll drop in again soon. Just look for the house on the other side of the cemetery of Dr. Weir.
Dr. Weir returns shortly to tell you about next week's story. Meanwhile, here's a thought for all of us. While the war in Europe is over, the war in the Pacific is far from won. Our land troops still have many hundreds of miles of tough island hopping to go, and may even have to fight Japan's armies in China. That means we must continue to keep up the flow of ships, guns, munitions, and food to our far-flung Pacific outposts. And that means we must continue to buy bonds. The mighty 7th War Loan Drive is now on. Let's support it to the utmost. Buy till it hurts, and then some. Now, let us hear again from Dr. Weir.
I hope you plan to drop in on me again next week. I want to tell you a story I call Picture of a Killer. It's an unusual tale about a killer who had never had his picture taken. And when a photographer finally did snap his picture, it was... But the rest of the story will have to wait until your next visit. Good night.
That's our strange tale for this week. I'll be back next Sunday with more. Between now and then, you can find more Strange Dr. Weird, more strange tales, more old time radio at relicradio.com. There's also links there to our forum, Shoutcast Stream, and if you'd like to help support this and all the shows, a donate button. Thanks to those who have donated. You're the ones keeping this all going. Thanks very much for listening today. I'll talk to you again next Sunday with another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales. Strange Tales is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.